Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That is the goal. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. Hi, Kylene. I am also simultaneously broadcasting on Instagram, and Kylene is saying hi. So I am saying hi to Kylene. So last week, I should say, if you want to join me, if you want to call me, the number here is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. You can also, if you're on Instagram, just drop a comment and ask a question, and I will be happy to answer. So, and also, we're doing something new. I think that this time you guys will be able to hear the callers on Instagram because we dispensed with all the fancy equipment, and we're just letting Instagram pick up the audio on its own. So let's hope for the best. I have a caller. Hi, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. This sounds like Carly Gash.
Good morning, Dr. Nina. This is Carly Gash. So good to hear you.
Good to hear you. What's going on?
So I noticed that, first of all, I am doing a little better with processing my emotions. Like yesterday, I was walking, I was having my evening walk, and emotions like came. And for my first reaction was, oh my God, when there will be the day when I stop crying, feeling this pain? Will there be a day when I will just have my 2 hours walk and not cry once? But then I said, I was crying, comparing myself to others, more successful people. And as you taught me, comparison is a thief of joy. And then I was using a very technique, validate, acknowledge, reassure yourself. I knew that I need to do it, and I was doing it like technically. But I was like, you know, when you feel bad, you think, when I feel bad, sometimes I think just the passive thought it's not going to work. But I started doing it anyway. But I gave it time. I didn't rush through it. I gave it time. It took me like several minutes. But then it worked, you know. It worked. It did. And I was like, ooh, it actually worked. I didn't die from my emotions. I could soothe myself. But I was not very proud because previously I was eating chocolate the whole day. So I was like, it's okay. I spend the time eating chocolate for 2 days. And then, yeah, still, you know, it's coming. Sometimes I would like to increase my... Sometimes, you know, somehow I'm scared to go into emotions and process them. I guess I just used to this old coping mechanisms where I prefer not to pay attention to what's going on with me, you know, and just live the life the way I got used to, or I learned in my family or people around me, because like going to my emotions, feeling them and processing them is a new thing. So I would like to ask you, how can I increase the awareness and this willingness to process actual emotions and not be scared of them, like not be scared of feeling them?
Well, first of all, I just want to acknowledge you for really already doing the thing that you're asking me how to do. You ate chocolate, and instead of beating yourself up for eating chocolate, you said, it's okay. And maybe you asked yourself why you were eating chocolate. Because if you're eating something, if you're turning to food, you're turning away from something else, as you know.
I didn't.
But you were kind. You weren't mean. You weren't mean to yourself. That was hopeful. Wishful thinking on my part, I guess. But you didn't.
You were right. I asked myself. And I went to Whole Foods where I buy my favorite chocolate. But there I met one guy, actually, some time ago, and I had very hard story with him, and I kind of avoided this Whole Foods. You know, I avoided the shop, entering there for a whole a year or so. But then I was geographically there yesterday, and I didn't need anything. But I said, you know what? I'll go to the shop. It's scary for me. It brings up all those emotions where we met for the first time. And I actually went to the place, to this pizza place where we met, and I said, I'll go there, and I'll go through it. And I want to normalize the shop. I want this Whole Foods to be a grocery shop for me, but not the place which brings all these hard emotions. As it's inconvenient, you know, I cannot be avoiding the whole LA because something happens with someone. So I just decided to go there, and it was like, It brought up emotions. And during the day, I was eating chocolate. I don't know. I was just,
okay,
I don't know. It was something, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you were feeling some apprehension and some anxiety about going to the Whole Foods where you met this guy with whom you had a bad experience. But you faced your fear. You did it anyway. And then it sounds like you felt better. So to answer your question of how can you be less afraid, what is it that you're actually afraid of? What is so frightening about experiencing emotions? What's going to happen?
I was thinking about it, and I was arguing with my mom the other day, and I was telling her, you know, Mom, you don't want to look in the face of reality that your family did this to you, blah, blah, blah. You need to face it. I was so angry and so righteous. But then thinking about it, about myself, I'm doing the same thing. I'm just scared to look in the face of reality that, yes, it's true that many people who I thought loved me, they don't love and don't care about me. And, I really have to do this work of living life and learning and doing and building it by myself. There will not be miracle parents appearing at my doorstep and saying, you know what, Carly Gash, let me do a career for you. Let me bring you amazing body, partners, money, everything. It's still me who has to get up and do the work. And at the same time, I realized that I really don't know many things in life. Really, I might be very smart, but I don't know a lot of basic stuff. Well, I'm also from another country. I give myself a discount for that. But still, you know, I have to do this. And then I try to beat myself up for that. But then I'm am I really that person who, achieves everything and posts on Instagram hey people, let's get all these goals, let's train, let's eat healthy, let's have cool partners. I'm more observer kind, you know. But then when I meet the slow guys, I'm really bored. So I don't know what I want, Dr. Anita. I think I'm just figuring it out, or I don't know. I'm just in this process of changing myself. I don't want to be who I was before, this ineffective pattern. But I haven't figured out what I want either. So
I want to point out that I asked you what was scary about emotions, and you ended up telling me how you don't feel as if you have it all figured out, and there are certain you're not a certain type of person, and you are still in the process of evolving, as hopefully we all are, by the way. I mean, I remember when I was getting my doctorate, there was a person in my class who said to the professor one day, well, I, you know, I, I really figured out this dream that this patient had. I mean, I really figured it out. And the professor said, well, if you think you've figured anything out, you have a lot more work to do. You never figure anything out, whether it's a patient's dream or whether it is, you know, life, because we're hopefully all in a process of figuring it out and growing and evolving and developing. So I just want to point out how you started off, you know, trying to answer the question of what's so scary about feelings, and you ended up a bit attacking yourself or shedding light on your perceived deficiencies. So what if you don't do that? And what if you really challenge yourself to say, well, what is so scary about experiencing a feeling, an emotion, or several emotions? Mm. What is it that is so frightening?
I guess I figured out some way, an effective way, of course, when I was a kid, how to go through the day with using an effective parents, like maybe overeating, numbing my emotions, not addressing to myself, and like meeting these goals of life. I guess I just learned and used to this type of life where I don't pay attention to my emotions. I shove them down. Okay, if something's surfacing, let's eat or let's talk to like some of not very healthy friends. So when this process of emotion, I'm learning this process of recognizing emotions, and I guess I'm just terrified how much time it takes, and that it, like emotions, all of a sudden emotions in my life appeared since I started working with you, appeared, and it feels like as if I got a child, you know? Here was I, perfect, living my single life, and then all of a sudden I have a toddler in my hand. And then I need to take care of this toddler, feed them, walk them, change diapers. And those are my feelings, you know, I need to address them. I really need to pay attention. It's like a whole child in my head. And it takes time. And I cannot move through my life as I did before, fast, efficient, and like have the satisfaction of meeting my goals fast as it used to, at the cost of like turning on myself, at the cost of overeating and using an effective pattern, and at the cost of cutting the big portion of my life and actually robbing myself of emotional life and emotional health. And I guess I feel like I never asked to be a mother in the first place. Well,
I have to stop you. You've called enough, and you're in the inner circle. You've called enough so that people who are listening know that you have a mother who could not take care of you. And when you say, I didn't ask for the child in the first place, I can't take care of this child. I can't take care of myself. That is such an identification with the mothering that you got. It's too much for me. As I recall, you had to be left with your grandmother. It's too much for me. You were too much for her. Because, and not because you were too much, but because she was unprepared. She was a single mother and she's schizophrenic. She couldn't take care of herself, much less you. So when you say to of yourself, it's too much for me, I can't take care of her, meaning you, that's a total identification with the way that you were treated. And this is your opportunity to give yourself what you never got from her, from the people who were supposed to take care of you and cherish you and raise you and make you feel safe and listen to your feelings and help you through them. This is your opportunity to do something different. Not do the same thing, which is to say, oh, it's too much. I'm too much.
Right. You're right. I guess I learned to neglect myself and neglect my emotions as it's not that they did it. Yes, they did it to me, but they also themselves didn't know how to do it. They still don't know. But I guess you are absolutely right. I guess I learned to neglect myself as a result of such treatment. And right now when I'm trying to take care of myself, you know, be very attentive parent to myself, I'm just freaking out, and this uncontrollable fear, and maybe just the fact that I'm learning to take care of myself brings up emotions that now I'm doing something different, and maybe I will lose my family, you know, because like when I was neglecting myself, in a sense, I was connected to my family, connected to the community of people who are neglecting themselves.
If you come from a family who suffers, right, and that the unspoken rule is, look how we suffer, and you leave and you prevail and you do well and you're no longer suffering, well, logically, yay for you, you escape.
Oh,
you're doing,
I
but
got it.
But psychologically, to your point, actually, it feels as if you're no longer connected. Oh, I'm no longer a one who suffers. I'm no longer part of them.
We got it. That's the reason why I was eating chocolate for 2 days. For 2 days, I got the convertible Mini Cooper, like 2019, a cool car. I just got a rental car. And I was driving, and it's like free for me. So I was driving around the LA with all this convertible, no roof, eating my favorite foods, just enjoying life. I was so happy these 2 days. And I guess I punished myself for being happy, like psychologically, very deeply inside, to the point I couldn't detect it myself. I was like, what's going on? I'm so happy. I'm driving and I'm overeating. I'm like, bitch, you have chocolate. What's up? I couldn't figure it out. I guess I was just punishing myself for having this night. Oh, and I posted it on Instagram, and I noticed that many of my relatives were watching me, like, and my cousins and other people, they don't have this money, that much money. They don't have it, you know, and I'm always feel sorry for them, and I want to help, and they don't have it. I guess I just felt guilty for just being happy, driving this convertible.
You felt guilty for a crime you were not committing. And you felt guilt. We feel guilty when we think we're doing something wrong, or when we think we should be doing something that we're not doing. And this can be unconscious guilt or conscious. But when you make it conscious, when you make the unconscious conscious, then you can actually challenge it. When you don't, when it's hidden from you in your unconscious, you're just sort of led around by it. And I also want to just thank you for making a very good point, which is this fear of happiness. A lot of people say, I just want to be happy. I'll do anything to be happy. I want to be happy and I want to be successful. But then what happens is there are prohibitions against that happiness. In your case, because the family system is, hey, we're not happy, we suffer. And so there's a sense of, like, I can't be different from my family. But there's also, for many people, and I don't know if this resonates with you, the idea that if you get happy, it's like you're standing on the rug of happiness and it's going to be yanked out from underneath you. The higher you climb, the farther you fall. And so sometimes the very thing that we want logically is the very thing that psychologically we fear. And one way to stay unhappy is to focus on food, focus on weight, focus on whatever, because then you're never too happy. And if you're never too happy, you're not going to lose the happiness. You're not going to lose your sense of connection to the family that suffers, or whatever reason there is for you having that conflict over happiness.
That's the trickiest part, Dr. Nina. That's like, I'm so grateful you're there. Here you go. You know, you need to go to Magic Castle and just show this magic to people. Because once you said it, I felt so good. I felt relieved, unburdened. And because I was like getting so doomy these 2 days, like, what's up? And I was blaming myself, like, here you go. You have a convertible. You're having all the things to be happy, and you're still not happy.
You notice how you're talking to yourself. You have a convertible. You're still not happy. You weren't saying, here I am, I have this convertible, and I'm still not happy. No, it's that second person pronoun voice. It's that critical voice. Carly Gash, I got a couple people waiting in line after you, so I just want to thank you for starting off the show, and I love your insight and your willingness to learn and grow and evolve. That is a wonderful quality, and I hope that you continue to appreciate that in yourself, and hopefully you call back next week and let me know how you're doing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate all your help. You helped me so much. Thank you, and have a great day.
You too, Carly Gash. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Mariella.
Mariella?
Yes.
Hi, Mariella. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Dr. Nina.
How can I help you? What's going on?
Yes, so I'm currently experiencing where I can't make peace with thoughts that I feel like every day at nighttime, specifically, I have these apocalyptic thoughts of I need to eat all this food now. I suffer from binge eating because tomorrow there's not going to be this food, and it makes it really difficult for me to stay in a routine to break the cycle. So that's what I'm experiencing right now.
Okay. All right. That's a really interesting question. Let's see if we can figure it out. So you're afraid that if you don't have it now, it's going to be gone tomorrow. Or that's the sense of, I better have it now because it's going to be gone tomorrow. Now, if you think about that feeling or that thought, that sense of I'm going to lose the thing that I want, and we're not talking about food, what comes to mind in the past? When have you had a similar sense of this, but it hasn't been around food?
Relationship. With my husband, when we were dating, and even now because we're separated.
Okay, so you're separated from your husband, but you also felt it when you were dating as if you could lose him or he would be gone?
Yes, and mostly part was when I was a teenager. I went through like a very traumatic time where people weren't really talking to me due to me feeling abused by somebody, and it made me feel like that's something I'm struggling with right now still sometimes, where if I don't, like, for me this is trying to hold up something. And if I let it go, like, that's kind of like, what else is there for me?
Okay, so the real conflict is over the sense that you can't hold on to anything good, perhaps, or that there's so much uncertainty, and that what's here today could be gone tomorrow, that kind of a thing?
Yeah.
And so it sounds like it's getting expressed with food. I'm like, maybe there are things you can't have, but we can always have food, right? Like when we think about relationships, people can be unavailable or unpredictable or unreliable, but food is predictable, reliable, and available. So if there's some unpredictability or unreliability or uncertainty in your life, as perhaps there is right now, given the fact that we're in a global pandemic and everything is crazy, and you said you're separated.
Yeah.
So perhaps because that is so scary to think about, the unpredictability of the world, the unreliability of people, the uncertainty. It's like, so food is, I have it, it's here, and I can have it now. It's giving yourself the sense of being able to control some aspect of your life, or to have something that could be gone tomorrow. And so it's important to look at not the food part, but what is this pattern of eating telling you about your internal conflict? And when you think about that, like, is it this separation from your husband that is foremost in your mind and uncertainty about that?
Yes, mostly. And then not feeling like I'm worth the change.
Not feeling like you're worth the change.
Yeah.
What in your mind would have to happen for you to be worth the change?
I would like to stick to a routine. Well, I would like to stick to the routine I would like to be in to be able to overcome regular eating.
Right. But so notice how you went back to food. Right. You, instead of, oh, there's this uncertainty about my relationship and I don't know what's going to happen. And maybe I don't feel worth it. Worth what would be my question. You went back to focusing on regular eating, because if you're focusing on food or focusing on eating, it sometimes takes you away from something else that's really painful that you don't want to focus on, you don't want to think about, you don't want to go there. As the previous caller said, feelings are scary. So it's easier to focus on, oh, look at what I'm eating, rather than what is eating at me?
Okay. What's eating at me?
Yeah. What's bothering you? What's scaring you? What's upsetting you?
Yeah, it shakes me within, because when I really think about it, it's feelings of being alone, being about how I can't control the future, or I can't control, like I can control that. So it's uncertain to me. It's mostly those two things, feeling alone and uncertainty of what can I expect in the next couple of days.
Okay, so feeling alone can be an empty feeling. The feeling of loneliness can feel empty. And that can be then symbolically filled with food. When we're lonely, we feel like an empty space within. And food can fill it. And then instead of feeling lonely, you're focusing on, why did I eat that? And uncertainty about what's going to happen in your with your relationship can be transferred to, how can I control food? Let me give myself some certainty over this. Tonight I'm not going to do it. Right. But of course it ends up happening again. So the whatever is going on with food is a solution to the problem. The problem is feeling alone, and the problem is feeling uncertain, and whatever else is going on in your relationship. Those are the problems. Yeah. Food is the answer to the problems. It's just a solution that also hurts you.
Yes, it is, because I'm even having where it's now, like I'm having gastro problems, because it's to the point now where it's affecting my health, and it scares me, because I wish I didn't have to take on the food for this, but I'm trying to find other alternatives to it. It's a process.
Yeah. Well, so the answer is to really respond to yourself the way you would talk to a friend. If a friend said, hey, I'm going through these relationship difficulties, I'm separated from my husband, I don't know what's going to happen, I feel very alone, I'm really scared, you would not probably say, hey, I have the answer for you, eat this. You would talk to your friend. You would talk to your friend. And so you have to respond to yourself the way you would respond to a friend, instead of abandoning yourself, really, and eating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The key,
yeah, that resonates.
Yeah, the key is kindness. People say, oh, how do you get over binge eating disorder? It sounds so simple, but it's so difficult to create. But it really is to respond to yourself with kindness instead of to abandon yourself by going to food. That's
kindness.
The key. Kindness.
The key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad. I'm very glad that you called. Will you call me next week or sometime in the future and let me know how it's going?
I will. Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. Yes.
You're very welcome. Good luck. Be kind. Mm-hmm. Be nice to yourself.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Aw. Yeah, remember, if you are turning to food, you are turning away from something else. So, oh, Ronan is typing something to me. If you find yourself being powerless over food, what are you powerless over in your life? What feels powerless? If you find yourself eating to the point where your stomach hurts, what is so painful that you're turning emotional pain to physical pain? Ronan, do we have another caller? I thought we had another caller. Oh, I guess we don't. No. No, no more callers. Oh, I could have kept talking to her more. Okay. So speaking of powerlessness and speaking of helplessness, last week I started talking about how helplessness is related to food issues. And I went over a couple of the different ways that we deal with helplessness. And we're all feeling, to some extent or another, helpless and powerless over this very scary virus and all of the ramifications of that. What are the economic ramifications going to be? How is it going to affect us, our health? How is it going to affect us financially? How is it going to affect people we like and love? All of this uncertainty and all of this powerlessness. Like, there's very little we can do except wear a mask. Wear a mask, people, wear a mask. And I shared about my mask shaming experience last week when someone shamed me for wearing a mask. Shamed me in Calabasas, California for wearing a mask. So wrong. So very, very, very wrong. Anyway, helplessness. Helplessness is one of the worst experiences that we can have, the feeling of powerlessness that we cannot do anything about anything. And so sometimes the powerlessness we feel over events, whether it's a global pandemic or a situation in our personal lives, that powerlessness can be displaced onto food. So instead of, I feel so powerless over the fact that I don't know what's going to happen with my relationship, it becomes, I don't know, I feel powerless over food. And now we have Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Oh, sorry. Let me turn you off. I'm listening to you. I just changed time. I'm calling. How are you, Dr. Nina?
I'm doing well, Jenny. What's going on?
Well, you know, you were just talking about masks, and I just have to say, I wonder if any callers could help me with a little problem. My apartment complex isn't enforcing the mask mandate that our governor, Gavin Newsom, has, required, and it's mandatory in the state of California, and my apartment complex isn't enforcing it. So if any of your callers has any information, email Dr. Mean.
If anyone out there can help Jenny out and point her in a direction of what can she do to compel her apartment building, which is in the state of California, in LA, to comply with the mask mandate, yeah, email me. dr.nina@drninainc. Email me and I will find a way to get it to Jenny, because it's a definitely awful feeling to feel powerless in that way, that here is this mandate, and yet people in your building are not wearing masks. I'm very sorry to hear that.
Well, thank you. And just, you know, just what's happening with, you know, how people just aren't, they aren't complying with, you know, the rules that are for our safety, and, you know, and I have no control over it. It goes back to my control issues. And then it goes back to, like, also, which I've been having issues with this week, is I'm always in survival mode, like from when I was a child to even now. I can't get out of this feeling like I'm in survival mode. And I'm even like, I went to the store, and I don't like going to the grocery store. Like, I have fear of, like, I don't have FOMO, fear of missing out. I have fear of going out, right?
Because, FOGO.
Yeah, fear FOGO. Because I'm exposing myself to all these people who, you know, there was like a fight literally in the front of the supermarket while I was there. Everyone's just out of their mind. And so I run in the store. I grab, like, you know, everything I can, because I don't want to go back for another 10 days to 2 weeks. I try to get enough, like, so I don't have to go back. So I'm like, I'm kind of feeling like I'm rationing my food a little bit. And like, even my personal care products, like my shampoo and my toilet paper and all that, I'm afraid I'm going to run out and have to go back to the store.
Jenny, I can't hear you. You sound all of a sudden very far away.
Oh, sorry. Got my phone switched to, my phone switched to my Bluetooth thing. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'll shut off my little Bluetooth. I don't know why the electronic equipment is Mercury in retrograde. anyway, what was the last thing that you heard from me?
You were saying that you were really feeling like you were in survival mode, and even food and other things, you feel as if you have to kind of ration them and not use them up because you don't want to go out, because going out is scary.
Yeah. Okay. So you heard everything. Yeah. I like, it's crazy that I'm starting to, you know, that in my adulthood where I can take care of myself and I really shouldn't have this, like, survival mode fear like I did when I was a child, growing up with an alcoholic parent, that this COVID situation has made me feel that those feelings again, like that I need to be in survival mode. And I hate it. I hate that feeling. I wish I could just feel calm. And, you know, I'm not rationing my rosé, unfortunately, that I love so much, as all your callers know. But
well, because
that's important.
because rosé calms you down and rosé takes you out of survival mode. I'm guessing you don't feel in survival mode when you're drinking rosé, and drinking rosé is very similar to, you know, eating chocolate for other people, or eating something with a sedative kind of effect. A lot of people have carbs to calm themselves down. So rosé is your solution to this pervasive anxiety of feeling in survival mode all the time, and of living among people who are very unpredictable. I mean, I guess when you go to the grocery store, you don't imagine you're going to witness a fight in front of the grocery store over who knows what, but that's not something that you're used to seeing, I presume.
No.
It's scary. No. It just is scary.
Yeah. And there's an energy now at the grocery store now where people are just like scrambling to, you know, get their stuff and get out. You know, it's not like calm like it used to be, where everyone was like looking at the boxes and like, oh, you know. Now it's just like everyone's scrambling to get out. There are all these lines that you have to be 6 feet apart. Everyone's in masks. You know, no one's chatting. It's just like, get in, get your stuff, and get out. And it's stressful. Even if I'm just there for a half hour, it's stressful. I come home and I'm tired.
It's very stressful because you shouldn't have to gird yourself to go to the grocery store. And unfortunately, that is what we have to do these days. I am really lucky because my husband goes to the grocery store. I haven't stepped inside of one since March, probably February, if I'm being honest, because he does all the shopping. I'm very lucky. But I hear him tell me about what is going on in the grocery store, and it's frightening. And so responding to that fear, responding to that anxiety, rather than, oh, I'm in survival mode, I must escape it. Like, if a friend of yours came to you and said, I just went to the store and it was a horrific experience and there was a fight outside and I just feel like I've got to go in and out and, you know, it's so scary. And let's just say you had no rosé to give her. What would you say to your friend? What would you say to your friend?
Oh, God. I mean, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what to say to myself anymore. I don't know. I guess when I sit down and really just breathe, you know, the realization that everything's okay and then I could, you know, I can handle it comes into play without rosé, you know, that it's all okay. But when I'm in the moment of it, that anxiety, it's like I turn into a different person. You know, it's like this little monster's inside.
Or this little girl, not a little monster, a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going, oh no. So this is where I really recommend my VARI technique. Now, it stands for validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. It really should be acknowledge and then validate, but it didn't work for the acronym. So VARI it is. And that means you have to sort of acknowledge and validate at once. You know, acknowledge this is scary. This is scary. It is scary that there's this sort of vibe in the world right now, at least in California, at least in Los Angeles where we are. There's a vibe in the world, and it's edgy and it's scary and it feels very potentially combustible, and that's frightening. And then you validate, yeah, who wouldn't feel this way given these circumstances? If you are not in denial, if you are actually paying attention to science, if you're looking around at people out there, of course, it's very nerve-wracking. Hi, modern world Zen. Welcome to the show. Better later than never. And so you do that, Jenny, and then you reassure yourself. And reassure is, right now, this is scary. It's not going to last forever, but right now it is scary. And you also reassure yourself by what you said just a few moments ago. I can handle this. I am not a little child. I am not helpless and powerless. I can actually take myself out of that store. I can take myself home, dodge all the non-mask wearing people in my apartment building, and I could keep myself safe. You know, to remember that.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that. What is the actual acronym?
VARI, V-A-R-Y. So V for validate, A for acknowledge, R for reassure, Y for yourself.
And yourself. I like that. I like it.
It's in my book. And it's one of those things where I almost didn't put in my book. And it's one of the things I get it's in my book, The Binge Cure. And it's one of those things where I almost didn't include it in my book. And I get so many people telling me how helpful it is. So there you have it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad. And I have your book, so I'm going to look in there and see if there's anything else I can pull from it. But I like that. I like that.
But just,
and it works
for
everything.
It works for everything. And just remember, you are not, what did you call yourself? A horrible little toddler?
A monster.
A monster. Right. It was Carly Gash who called herself a horrible little child or something like that. A monster. So changing your idea of what are your feelings, instead of a monster, it's a scared part of you.
Yeah.
A scared part of you is not a monster.
I get very hard on myself. I feel like there's this thing inside of me, like I can't control it. And it really upsets me that I am this way. And I blame myself when I shouldn't. I shouldn't be so hard on myself.
You know what?
No, that's horrible. Now that you say it, how that I said that there was a little monster inside of me. I was horrible.
That is horrible. Because here's what it is. You're getting re-traumatized in some way. And when we're traumatized, we have different reactions. Fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah.
And it sounds as if when you're traumatized, you want to flee. And if you can't flee in that moment because you're stuck in the line at the grocery store and you're 6 feet away from someone and you're just on edge, you can't, it's even more re-traumatizing. And I say re-traumatizing, absolutely. That may sound overstated, but there are two kinds of traumas. One is the really big, horrible thing that happens to you in your life and shatters your world because it's just a big, awful event. And the other is the thousand small cuts. So the big event is like a giant, you know, cleaver to the heart, and a thousand small cuts are more minor things that happen over and over and over and over and over, like neglect. And so, so feeling helpless and powerless and neglected and unsafe, and you're the only one who could take care of yourself. And you know, that's not a monster in there. That's a little girl who's getting re-traumatized, or the part of you that felt so stuck and unsafe. And having compassion for that part of you rather than calling it a monster.
Yes. And, you know, I've been working actually on having more compassion, not just for myself, but for others, because I've found that I've become a people-hating person during this pandemic for, you know, obvious reasons, because there are people that aren't taking it seriously and putting other people at risk. And I've been trying to feel compassion or put myself in their shoes. And I don't do it for myself enough, actually, at all, most of the time.
Well, you're a step ahead of me, because I was just going to say, and where is that compassion for yourself? So you see, you already know, being as compassionate to yourself as you are towards others, not calling yourself a monster, but saying, okay, what am I feeling? What's actually happening? What is right now? Very, and also the what is, not what if. Just, okay, I am here, and I can leave anytime, or I can stay and check out, and then I'm going to go home, and I'm going to get myself safe, and that is what I can do. That is what I can do for myself.
Yeah, okay. I will work on that.
All right. I know you will. Call me and let me know how it goes. Call and let us know how it goes. Great.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome, Jenny. Stay well. Be nice to yourself.
You too. I will try, I promise.
Okay. Bye for now. And Modern World Zen is saying his unconscious must have made him late. Oh, so on it. Everyone is psychoanalyzing themselves today. So well, so very well. So just really quickly, the responses to helplessness before we go are to get angry, because anger is an act of emotion, to get very productive, because that also feels energizing and alive, and it's like you're doing something in the face of helplessness. And the others are to withdraw or to get depressed. So if you are finding yourself having any of those four reactions, remember that it is a reaction to powerlessness, and you've got to be kind to yourself. You've got to be compassionate with yourself. got to treat yourself as you would anybody that you love. Thank you for joining me today. That is our show for today. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio. You can also catch me on Instagram, and you can listen later at Apple Podcasts or the LA Talk Radio archives or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Take care, stay healthy, stay safe, wear a mask, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.